For the seventh year, the Plymouth County Historical Museum will be hosting Cabin Days as a way to honor both log cabins located on the museum grounds and to reflect upon the area's history at around the 1800s to early 1900s. Cabin Days is scheduled for this Saturday, October 2nd, and according to Plymouth County Historical Museum Administrator Judy Bowman, the festivities are scheduled to begin at 1 p.m.
We are going to open the museum at 1 o'clock, as always, and the cabins, of course, will be open. We will have Indian fried bread available right away at 1 o'clock, along with little pie tarts. They're cherry pie in memory of Cherry Cliff, and then little apple pies for the Pioneer Days. We also will have Jonathan Foster, our exhibit manager, singing beginning at 1:30. He will be hopefully outside, weather permitting, singing some old-time favorites. And he did appear last year. This will be his second year. And he'll be there from 1:30 till 2. And then we're going to break for the book signing by Dr. Greg Severson. He has written the book, Druids of Lamars.
With regards to the book signing, Bowman says that a brief program will be led by the book's author, Greg Severson, as he discusses his book entitled Druids of Lamars.
He will be in the music room with his books. He will speak at 2 o'clock briefly to the audience. So if you want to come and learn more about how he wrote the book, why he wrote the book about Lamars, he, of course, is a native of Lamars. And then he will continue book signing. Jonathan, our vocalist, will be back at 2:30 to sing some more. And root beer floats will be available upstairs in Miller's Lunch Diner. There will be kids games somewhere around 2 or 3 o'clock. We'll see when the kids show up, but I'd say 2 o'clock probably.
Bowman reminds people that all five floors of the Plymouth County Historical Museum will be open during the entire afternoon. The museum official speaks of the stories and of the history of the two cabins sitting on the museum grounds.
We'll definitely have both cabins open. Joy Hollow is on the north end of the museum, and it is in the 1890s vintage. It came from Sioux City originally, but it was actually moved 4 times. We moved it from the fairgrounds in June of 2015. So it has been around the block, and we're hoping it stays at the museum forever now.
Bowman says that about the Joy Hollow cabin, that it was at one time served as a servant's quarters before becoming a cabin for Girl Scouts.
Started as a cabin for a Negro servant of Judge Kennedy in Sioux City. He built it for his servant. And when he died, his widow gave the cabin to the Camp of the Hills, a Boy Scout camp, and then they gave it to Joy Hollow. Joy Hollow gave it to the fairgrounds, to our fair, Plymouth County Fair, and then we raised money to move it from the fair and renovate it a little bit in 2015. So it's been moved, but Joy Hollow Girl Scout camp had a long time, and a lot of people will stop in and say, oh, you know, we were Girl Scouts and we slept in that cabin.
Bowman also shares the story behind the Civil War era Weber cabin.
Right. Well, the Weber cabin was located over by the Big Sioux River, and it was really close to K-18. Jim Weber owns the property now, and it was his grandfather, I believe, who had the Weber cabin. Jim was Jim grew up a little bit in that cabin. He told me he spent the first 4 years of his life there. So that cabin was discovered just in a pile by the Plymouth County Museum way back in 1960-something. And the museum moved, well, they picked up all the logs and numbered them. Again, it was just a heap. I have pictures from those days. And they numbered the logs and put it back together over at the museum site by the airport. That was in 1967 when that cabin opened over at the airport site.
When the museum had acquired the old Central School for its new home, and shortly thereafter, in 1983, the Weber Cabin was moved to its present-day location. Bowman says that there will be people dressed in period-era costumes that will be attending the Cabin Days Festival on Saturday. Bowman reminds us that there's no admission to the Plymouth County Historical Museum. Do you hear that sound? That distinctive noise is the sound of a smoke detector that has been activated. It has an unusual high-pitched tone that is different from anything else, so that it will alert you and your family in case your home has caught on fire. A smoke detector's alarm is designed to wake you up when you are sleeping, when smoke and possibly a fire are present in the area. Fire Prevention Week begins on Sunday and continues through Saturday, October 9th. This year's theme is Learn the Sounds of Fire Safety. And the Lamar's Fire Chief Dave Shipper says that the emphasis this year is placed on smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors.
They always come up with a different theme every year. This year is the Learn the Sounds of Fire Safety. Just wanting people to realize what a smoke detector or carbon monoxide alarm sounds like, and then to know what to do when you hear one activate. And so that's the theme and the priority this year.
Shipper says that the four most common house fires include those that originate in the kitchen, improperly discarded smoking material, i.e. cigarettes, space heaters, and candles.
Let's talk about the likelihood of home fires. And it seems like when the Lamar's Fire Department is called out to a residential fire, many times it starts in the kitchen. It is from something that's been cooking, left on the stove or oven or whatever the case might be. So how common or how frequent is it that when we have home fires that it starts in the kitchen?
Very common nationwide, and even here in Lamar's, Dennis. It varies year to year. It's usually the top three are your kitchen fires, improperly discarded smoking material, i.e. cigarettes, and or things like that nature, the unattended candles. So this year, the major thing the focus is on nationwide is kitchen fires. Around the holidays especially, more people are home, more people are cooking. Something we've come to realize here in Lamar's even is a lot of times people are starting to use stoves for countertops, and we don't want them doing that. Or the oven becomes a cupboard and they're sticking cloths or towels or potato chips inside the oven, and then for whatever reason it either gets bumped on or somebody sets it to preheat to make something and forgets that they were using it as a storage cabinet. So we've had some kitchen fires caused by those things too.
Shipper reminds people that when they change their clocks, they also should change the batteries inside their smoke detectors.
And we tell people to change the battery when you're changing your clock. Now the newer smoke detectors you buy, you can actually get them for 10-year lifespan that, you know, they don't have to be changed. And at 10 years, you throw the whole detector away. But if you have a working smoke detector, meaning it has a good battery in it, it will work for you 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And we want you to know what it sounds like this year. Make sure you know what the sound of it is. So if it goes off, you can decipher that from an alarm clock or some other type of alarm or beeping that you have going on in your house. Because there's so many things with video games and cell phones and alarm clocks. That's the Learn the Sounds of Fire Safety thing. They estimate that in nationwide, we could save over 850 lives if we had actual working smoke detectors in homes where fires are occurring that we don't, and we lose those people. And that's what we want to do with this, is save people's lives. You know, that's our first main thing, is to save lives. And then we save property too. But the life is the important thing, and that's why the smoke detectors that are working are very important to have.
The fire chief says that many times when a household fire occurs, firefighters will learn and notice that the battery had expired or is missing, or there wasn't even a smoke detector in the first place. Nearly every day of the month of October, firefighters from the Lamar's Fire and Rescue Department will be speaking to preschools, elementary grades, and other students about the importance of fire safety.
Yeah, as we said, this is Fire Prevention Month for us, Dennis, so the calls have started coming in. We've arranged tours, talks. Here at Station 1, we're going out to several preschools and schools as well. We're well up over 24 talks already for the month of October. And we'll do a couple adult groups as well. So we average around 20 to 30 this time of year. We would put on presentations, but I think it's very important, and I think the kids enjoy it. I think they get a lot out of it. We have the DVD, a couple of them that we use throughout the years. And it's got some singing and dancing stuff with it, and the kids really enjoy that. I think that's one of the reasons we don't have a huge juvenile fire setter issue in Lamar's with children playing with fire. Is because they remember the program. They remember us telling them what to do. And a lot of times the kids can go home and actually help educate the parents to make sure the parents know two ways out of their home or to have a meeting place once they get outside to tell the firefighters that everybody's out and things like that. So I wish we could do a lot more than what we do now, but with the staffing we have and the number of calls we're responding to, it's tough to get the almost 30 classes in. So yeah, as you can see, about every day is already filled up for the month of October. And by the end of next week, I'm sure we'll have it all full. So it's a good thing.
And Lamar's Fire and Rescue Department will talk about fire safety and prevention to nearly 500 students throughout the month of October. And also this reminder that the annual Fire and Rescue Department Pancake Breakfast is scheduled for this Sunday, October 3rd, between 8 a.m. and noon, and it will be located at the Fire Station Number 1 across from the Eagles Club and diagonally across from the Lamar's Public Library. Speaking of the Lamar's Fire and Rescue Department, the monthly report for September has now been released. The Fire and Rescue Department responded to 8 fires in September. There were 12 investigations. Twice the Fire and Rescue Department responded to special operation calls consisting of confined space rescues or hazard materials. 14 different occasions, the local Fire and Rescue Department performed special request services, and the EMS personnel responded to a total of 97 calls with 27 transfers and 60 911 calls. Of those 27 transfers, 13 were to Sioux Falls.